Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
A good Monday afternoon to all of you, and welcome into Grant and Danny on the Fan, live from FedEx Field. We are ready to broadcast ahead of an important late November, nationally televised primetime kick for the football team as they host Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks. Danny, top of the afternoon to you, and a happy game day, buddy.
I'll turn my mic on, probably. Indeed, sir. Hope all is well with you. I am not in a good mood. It's probably obvious why. You know why. I know why. All our listeners know why. Max Scherzer is going to pitch for the New York Mets. I can't get over it. I love the Caps shoving it on the Carolina Hurricanes, who I now hate, by the way, because they broke TJ Oshie's collarbone and their cheap shot, dirty SOBs, and I hate Rod Brindamore. I love that the Wizards won a game in Dallas, which they haven't done since, like, I was a teenager. They played San Antonio, where they haven't won since 1999 tonight. But the big story, obviously, as you mentioned it, you're there at FedEx watching the Washington Foosball team with a huge Monday Night Football game where they could be in the playoffs if they win. Max Scherzer is going to pitch for the Mets, and I just can't get over it. I can't get over that the Nationals are going to be paying Max Scherzer $15 million a year over the next 3 years to pitch against them and the rest of the NFC and the NL East. I can't get over it. I'm so upset about it. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, that's where we can start, oddly enough. Burgundy and Gold Game Day on 106.7 The Fan, presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation, your clear home improvement choice, paulhenryswindows.com. We've got tons to get into on the football front, and we'll scout the Seattle Seahawks with Mike Salk of ESPN out in Seattle coming up at 3 o'clock. But it was heartbreaking when I first heard last night, like everybody else, that the Mets were making a strong push for Max Scherzer, and for him to come back to the East Coast and to pitch in the NL East against one of the teams that he has formed a rivalry against over the last several years, the perception was always that that team was going to have to outbid everyone else, that they were going to have to pay way more than everyone else. They were going to pay a tax, essentially, for him to have to deal with whatever comes from going to perform for a team that is the most hated of the club that you just spent the last 7 years of your life pitching and dominating for. The Mets are doing that. They are spending, reportedly, if this thing gets finalized, and this has been the weirdest, like, 24-hour reporting phase on this, where everything's getting leaked.
Oh, I'm so annoyed about it.
It's all very, very weird, where it's like, he's closing in on a deal. Like, this has been the longest sit-on-the-pot time ever. Either finish the job or get off and try again later. I don't know what we're doing. But the greatest national of all time is reportedly agreeing to a three-year deal worth $130 million, which would be record-breaking. You're talking about upwards of $43+ million a year for a starting pitcher who's almost 40. Unbelievably risky and really, really ballsy of the Mets to throw that offer out at Scherzer, but that's what it's going to take to lure him away from the probably closer to being World Series caliber teams out west that are vying for his services.
Yeah, you said it very, very well. Steve Cohen, the owner there of the Mets, they're basically paying the we stink tax. They're paying the we've got to do something right now desperation tax, win the bidding tax. They fell right into the Scott Boras trap, by the way. Mystery teams, I'm sure, were involved. the lure of a couple Los Angeles teams that are willing to spend so much money. So they just kept bidding against themselves, I'm sure, and had to have that prize, weren't willing to go to any kind of consolation. So in theory, the 1-2 punch of Jacob deGrom and Max Scherzer is as good as you'll ever find, even though Max Scherzer is up there in age, as you alluded to, was a Cy Young finalist this past year, pitching in two cities. Guy's incredible, and he defies the age curve, and he should have already slowed down. He hasn't yet. He is amazing. So that's going to sting, and that's awful, and I hate it, and I'm so upset about it. It's more to me, though, this wasn't a Harper-type case where the Nationals made him a huge offer, and then Harper's camp trotted it out there and then spent a bunch of months running it down, including Harper's comments about what is that going to do for my family, talking about hundreds of millions of dollars. This isn't that. This is the Nats got rid of him, moved on, have new pieces that they're developing and trying to compete. There's just different time windows. It still stings, though, because he's going to an arch rival. He's going to pitch at Nationals Park in an opponent's uniform. And it's not just some opponent. It's my most hated opponent in the NL East. That's going to sting, and it's going to feel awful. But the part that I can't get over, Grant, is this deferred money element of this that the Nationals are still going to be paying Max Scherzer. And it's basically emblematic of what's already happened and what's going to happen in the future. The way they do business led to this. That's the part I'm just going to be so annoyed about every time I see him, when I see him putting that jersey on in the press conference in the hat. I know that it means Juan Soto's already gone. I know that I've got to revisit not having Trey Turner, not having Rendon, not having Harper, not having any of these guys, that they haven't been able or haven't been willing to sort of change the way that they do it to re-sign or to go get. It's just, that's the part that I can't get over. As a reminder, the Nats are paying for his services for the New York Mets. He's going to be making $60 million a year, basically, pitching in the NL East.
Just a quick reminder for you, though, Danny. The Mets open their season with the Nationals.
Oh, yeah.
Jacob deGrom is going to pitch on opening day, presumably, on March 31st on opening day. The next day is a 1:10 East time, first pitch. Saturday, April 2nd, right? Because they don't play on that Friday in case of a rainout. So 2 days later, Max Scherzer likely to get the ball against the Washington Nationals if this deal comes to fruition on that Saturday at Citi Field. By the way, the Mets with DeGrom and Scherzer, that's the best 1-2 punch in the history of baseball. That's two Cy Young Award winners in the flesh.
Yep.
That's two of the greatest pitchers who ever lived at the height of their powers. And DeGrom right now is doing things we actually haven't seen done since they were changing rules because Bob Gibson was too dominant in 1968. And the guy that passed the torch to him as the previous most dominant best pitcher, annual Cy Young Award winner type, was Scherzer, who finished runner-up and is still A-minus, B-plus version of that at the moment. I got a lot of frustrations. I guess things I could vent about, things I could work out. For me, just watching the Nationals again sit here on their hands during an offseason in which the Marlins are making moves. Teams are spending money aggressively and trying to improve themselves, and they're not. And it's very clear what they're doing. Oh, you were offered a qualifying offer? Well, we're not possibly going to contact you because we can't give up draft picks because we're going to be building this thing up from the bottom up. It's just pretty clear that we're going to have to wear it as fans for a couple of years, I think. The problem I have with that is not that it's a bad way to build. It's how they did it the first time. It's how teams like the Astros and the Cubs and so many others have won championships. The problem is that Juan Soto's got 3 years left, and there's no reason that he's going to want to stay here if he sits around through a rebuild and doesn't get to compete in meaningful baseball games over the next few years, which is why I've said this is a critical offseason. Be aggressive, add talent, spend some money, throw cash at some problems. And to this point, there has been none of that for the Nationals. I've heard them linked to one free agent of any kind of notable past.
Yeah, resume, yeah.
It's really annoying. But I tweeted this. I want to get your thoughts to this. And you guys can weigh in if you'd like. We're just getting started today. Got a lot of football and obviously Washington playing Seattle. I'm sitting at FedEx Field looking right now at a field that looks beautiful, by the way. They got the burgundy end zones with the gold lettering. Washington football team established in 1932. They got the center of the field like you liked last home game, Danny, with the cool logo painted really nice for Monday Night Football. But here's what I just tweeted. I want to see what you think about this. This could be dramatic and very in the moment, but I think it's true. Nationals fans have had it as bad as any fan base in all of sports since their World Series run. And I just put together a little mini list. I didn't have enough space, honestly, in the tweet to add everything, but this is what I wrote. You didn't get to have your post-World Series celebration in 2020 because of COVID. Anthony Rendon left. Steven Strasburg completely broke down. The team has been one of the worst in baseball since, and I mean that. Like, look up the records. Trade deadline, sell-off. You got rid of all the veterans that meant anything to you during that title run, including, when people weren't expecting it, Trey Turner, who a lot of people were hoping this whole thing was going to be built around for years, because you chose not to build around Harper and then not to build around Rendon and now not to build around Trey Turner. On top of that, sell-off, now you've got to deal with Max to the Mets. You already had to deal with Harper to the Phillies. You know, players leaving and going elsewhere is business. It happens all the time. But when a guy goes up 95 to Philadelphia, who might be your arch rival, that's a kick to the ribs. I happen to hate the Mets more than I hate the Phillies, Danny. So that's an even harder kick to the other side of the ribs. I mean, how bad have Nats fans had it since that World Series run? I know that sounds dramatic, but am I wrong about that?
You're not. Now, you'll get eye rolls from non-Nationals fans going, yeah, you know, I trade that in for a World Series too. And of course they would. If you ask me 2 years of misery for a World Series, yep, no problem. I got that, and I'll do it again. That parade and that championship here in Washington, D.C. is among my great memories of my life, period, end of story. But the point stands. You are 100% correct. That dumb COVID year robbed us of what should have been a basic year-long celebration. We were robbed of the opportunity to boo the Astros, to give ovations to our returning heroes, the Eatons, the Kendricks, the Corbins, the Scherzers, the Strasburgs, everybody. It should have been this amazing, banner-raising, 45,000 people going bat-you-know-what crazy. We were robbed of all that because of the pandemic. Okay, whatever. Then the performance. Then this reality smacking us in the face like a rapidly approaching wall of concrete. Oh, yeah, all the stars that got you that unbelievable amount of sports joy in a 10-year window of excellence, either they're all past their due date and are breaking down, no longer good, or gone. Wow. It is a stark, stark, stark 2 years for Washington Nationals fans. And then, yeah, as you alluded to, watching your former heroes play for your rivals stinks. That stinks no matter what. And then you add in the circumstances of it. Oh, man. You're 100% right. I don't think it's melodramatic at all.
Thank God for 2019 for the Nationals. It's at least somewhat tolerable and justifiable because you can lean on those memories, right? I mean, they won the World Series. They went on the magical carpet ride. It was one of the great experiences as a fan many of us have ever had. But imagine had they have lost in the World Series in Game 6, or if they just, you know, ran into the Cardinals and they got knocked out in the NLCS, and everything's happened the same way since. And they basically had nothing to show for that window, and now all these guys are gone. And now you've got to deal with kind of the worst version of this ownership group and how they operate without having gotten the good that came from the prioritization of pitching and some of the investment they made previously. Thank God that 2019 happened, because it very easily could not have, right? I mean, you go back and I was just the other day looking back at that run where they were winning on the road constantly. The amount of things that had to fall into place.
Michael A. Taylor gets hit in the hand. Ryan Zimmerman's bloop falls in before Juan Soto gets the base hit.
What if they got eliminated that night when they were pressed for offense in the wild card game? I remember in like the sixth inning, seventh inning of that game, bumping into a buddy who's in the business in Major League Baseball in the little area where you get food and drink in the club. And we're like, here we go again. Like, we've seen this movie. Now, Juan Soto saves the world, and they go on to win the World Series. But if that night they get bounced, and we're still sitting here with Scherzer having just signed with the Mets, so you play him almost 20 times, and you play Harper almost 20 times, and you got nothing to show with Rendon out west. I mean, how bad would that be? I also want to say real quick, too, to listeners, don't be mad at Max Scherzer. Like, I can't believe the amount of people who are calling him Benedict Arnold and all this stupid nonsense, this childish stuff. This is a business. What's he supposed to do? Sign for less money in a situation he and his family are less happy with, where he's not being courted to the same extent in another division because you don't want him to go to the Phillies? I thought the same thing when Bryce went to the Phillies. I thought that was always ridiculous. In the case of Scherzer, he actually got traded away from here. He didn't leave here via free agency. I mean, did the Nationals even contact him? Do we even know? I mean, they certainly aren't offering him anything close to what he just got. I can promise you that. But there's no people like he should have come back here. Do we even know if they picked up the phone? Are they even calling people right now? What are they doing? I don't know. But the anger at Scherzer is weird to me. I understand fan is short for fanatical. I thought any hatred of Bryce Harper for signing with Philadelphia was short-sighted and preposterous. And I think this is even more foolish than that, to be completely honest with you, in that he was traded last year. They said thanks for the memories. They shook his hand. They gave him a hug. They kissed him on the cheek. They shoved him out the door and said, go have fun. And now he's trying to get the most bang for the buck that he can. These are hired guns, dude. He said, where do I get the most money? That's what Max Scherzer did. Who's going to pay me the most? Raise your hand. That's where I'm going to finish my career. And that team looks like it's going to be the Mets.
Yeah, thank God. You and I have always differed on this. I think the Harper hatred is correct, and I have it. With Scherzer, the distinction you made is 100% correct as well. He was traded away. They didn't present him with a massive offer, and he then used it to get leverage and get to the highest bidder and then run it down publicly afterwards or whatever the whole saga was. Max Scherzer realized that his best chance to go win a ring was somewhere else. He was traded away. We got things in return. There are players that are
here.
Yeah.
Teams do that to players. What you're referencing Bryce doing, teams do that all the time. And Bryce came back to them in the end and wanted to be here, and they said, no, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what his agent got out there when the offers weren't coming in. And then, of course, once the signing happened, well, it turns out that $300 million really wasn't a great $300 million. It was a bad $300 million. And, we all play the game, and that's fine. But Bryce doing what he did, to me, absolutely, we can be angry if we want to, as you kind of alluded to. That's fam. I get that. Going to a rival, just thumbing your nose at us is one thing. Max Scherzer left that because he chose to. Right? Max Scherzer had to get traded away. And now he's looking at the end of his career to go win and make a bunch of money. That's not where the Nationals are. They're not going to pay him a bunch of money. Well, actually, they are $15 million a year for the next 3 years. But in terms of a contract to play baseball for them, that was never on the table. And neither is winning at this point. So, no, I don't blame him in the slightest.
Yeah, it's just a kick to the stomach. I mean, there's no other way about it. And if you're a Nats fan, it's one after another. But I can't separate Danny my frustration with Scherzer being a Met, which, by the way, I'll just admit this wholeheartedly and put it out there on the radio, the Mets are my least favorite team in the division by far. I find their fans the most insufferable. I find everything about that organization as a Nats fan more annoying than any of the other organizations within the division.
Agreed.
So to me, this is worse than Bryce Harper going to Philly. Not to mention, I knew for years he was leaving. I didn't expect him to stay. There wasn't the same connection to the city. Bryce was kind of a canned robot for the most part, with some sayings he wanted to get out there that he'd written down the night before and rehearsed. And I liked Bryce. He was fairly personable. He's a decent human being. But nothing like Scherzer. I mean, Scherzer was the most popular national ever. I think there are more people listening right now this second in D.C., who would say that Max Scherzer is their favorite baseball player who's ever lived, than not. I think the majority of current Nats fans, they would tell you Scherzer might be their favorite baseball player ever. And this is worse. This is different than the Harper Philadelphia thing. But I can't separate from what I just said and that frustration and that annoyance the fact that the Nats again are doing this.
Yep.
When's the offseason start, guys? Thing. And I'm a Mike Rizzo guy. I think he's really good at his job. Oftentimes, I give him a pass. I don't know if I should or shouldn't, or if I'm too easy on him. I don't know. I have to imagine, though, Mike Rizzo, who knows baseball, would like to be adding good baseball players right now. I just have to assume that if it was up to him and he got to call the shots and spend the money, he would go out and, I don't know, bring in talent. But the division's there to be had. It's not like there's some juggernaut. You accidentally got into the playoffs and won a World Series a couple years ago. The Braves, who stunk at the two-third point of the season this year, accidentally stubbed their toe into winning a bad division and went on a crazy ride to win the World Series this year. That should be a motivator to try to be aggressive and build an 87, 88-win team that might be able to go on a run.
88 did it for the Braves this year, to your point.
I mean, what are we doing? I don't understand what the plan is here. Why are you, by design, when you could be competitive, you still have the pieces in place to actually spend a little money and go win baseball games. What is the end game? I'm struggling with it. But at least now, Bryce is with the Phillies, and Scherzer's with the Mets, and I can't wait till Soto is with the Braves. You know, that's the way this is headed.
I know.
I can't wait.
God, it stinks.
Can't wait till you know, Anthopoulos picks up the phone and calls Boris, and they get him $800 million to go to Atlanta. If you guys want to hop in on the Max Scherzer news, we want to hear from you. 800-636-1067 is the number. 800-636-1067 is how you can join us on the Gambit DC listener lines on Grant and Danny. We're going to shift things to the football teams. Monday nighter with Seattle. I'm actually sitting at FedEx Field as Danny and I talk right now. But first, we wanted to let you guys vent a little bit on this breaking news that reportedly, I don't know if it's done quite yet, Max Scherzer is headed to the Mets, which is just an awful thing to say. We're Grant and Danny. This is The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Grant and Danny on The Fan. We've been waiting for Monday Night Football, Washington and Seattle, for days. A couple of weeks we've had this circled on the calendar. I'm out at FedEx Field in Booth 7 next to the press box overlooking the end zone where the players will run out of the tunnel. Danny's back in our Half Street studios. But, of course, as fate would have it, we're starting the show not talking about the football team or tonight's primetime matchup with Seattle. We're going to get into that in just a couple of minutes. We will be joined, by the way, to scout the opponent and get to the bottom of the Seahawks. Mike Salk, ESPN Seattle, coming up at 3 o'clock. But, Danny, there's breaking news out of Major League Baseball. Last night, rumblings began that Max Scherzer could be coming to an agreement, could have a new team. Then late last night, we found out it might be the Mets. And now it seems all but official. He's going to be signing to come back to the NL East to pitch for New York, very likely to start against the Washington Nationals in the second game of the season. And while that is infuriating, I find myself equally as mad because the Nationals are just doing nothing at the start of another offseason. I'm watching the Marlins be aggressive and active, and they're going out and locking up Avisail Garcia to a big contract, and they're still in the market for other players. The Nationals have retained the services of Luis Avila, so I guess we're all set. This has been really blood-boiling over the last 72 or so hours. But I feel for you, Nats fans. You watched Rendon walk out the door. You've seen Strasburg completely break down. You've seen Patrick Corbin regress mightily to the point where he's become the worst pitcher in the league over the last couple of years, all while Washington has one of the worst records in the National League the last couple of years. They sold off all of their pieces at the deadline. I thought most of those deals were no-brainers and were really smart. But no one saw the Trey Turner trade coming until a day or two before. We all kind of thought that was out of nowhere. And now here comes Scherzer to pitch for the Mets, so that's fun.
But the Nats re-signed Alcides Escobar, so I think you should take all that back. No, dude, it's frustrating. And again, they deserve the benefit of a couple things. A lot of the guys that they let walk by not overpaying, be they Ian Desmond, right call, Jordan Zimmerman, right call, they've done well in some of these places where they didn't overpay for somebody. Anthony Rendon hasn't done much since he's been in Los Angeles.
I don't give them that credit, though. That's injury-based.
You're right, but that's part of the discussion. That's part of why they didn't want to give him a mega contract. Now, I would have, and I would have had egg on my face because he's not—
No, you wouldn't, because you don't know that he would have gotten hurt if he stayed here. I don't think that logic works.
Well, fair enough, but Steven Strasburg has been a disaster. He pitched 26 innings over the course of these 2 years. And that contract looks like an albatross now. But the point is, they've had a track record of success. It's just that at some point, somebody has to stay. At some point, you've got to keep one of these guys, two of these guys, some of this core together. And it's always, well, we'll do the next one, we'll do the next one, do the next one. And then there are no next ones. And then you're bad for a decade when you look up. You could be the Phillies. The Phillies, when they won the World Series more than a decade ago, had this aging veteran core that was awesome. They won a bunch of games. And they've been trying to bring us some kind of new band back together ever since. I don't want that kind of window, and that's what it smells like. The stark reality of the Nationals and the way they do business and the amount of money they're going to pay Max Scherzer while he's making over $40 million to pitch against them, it's just emblematic of the entire process, and it is frustrating, dude.
Let's go to Mark in Largo. Touch the people here and take the temperature a little bit. 800-636-1067 on the Gambit DC listener lines. Mark, what's good?
Mark,
you there, brother? I don't hear him. Let's try Will and Stafford online, too. Will, you're on Grant and Danny. How are you? Danny, is it me at FedEx that I can't hear people, or can you not as well?
I can't hear him either. So let's hold on the phones here for a second. I don't know what's going on. Something weird. We need an
adult.
That's
okay. I can keep complaining more about the Nationals. Juan Soto's not going to resign here. Why would he? I've come to the realization that we're just counting down the days with Juan Soto as well. Where is the $500 million extension that he should have been offered 2 weeks ago, by the way?
Well, over the weekend, just on that point real quick, Byron Buxton. That's not a name that Nats fans maybe know, maybe they don't know. Another guy, well before they had to pay him, the Minnesota Twins said, oh, this is a young star. We'll put a bunch of money in front of him. Now, it's not as much money as he would probably get if he waited and went to free agency, but they did it. Where was that for Trey Turner? Where was that for Rendon? Where was that for Juan Soto? That's what's so exasperating is maybe you get one of these unbelievable deals for the buyer. Well, yeah, you got to pay a little bit more in the short term, but then you get Ronald Acuna for a decade at a fraction of what he should probably cost.
But the only thing I'll say in the Nats' favor, because this is not just an let's beat up on the team. This is a let's fairly critique and bash the team where it's deserved, and there's a lot of it that's deserved. Acuna signed a terrible contract. Terrible. And because he's not represented by Scott Boras, I'm not sure who his agent is, they allowed him to sign a contract he never should have. Same with Ozzie Albies. So while that was great for the Braves and that was a lucky thing for the team, that should have never happened.
Agreed.
Probably.
Of course not.
And so we can't necessarily compare the Nats situation to that. Now, the frustrating thing is that they deal with a lot of players that are represented by Scott Boras. And I have always said if I was a player, if money was the most important thing to me, then I would be represented by Scott Boras too. See Max Scherzer, who's about to break the record of another Boras guy. Like, you're going to get your money. But dealing with Scott Boras doesn't care about the Nationals, and he doesn't care about teams, and he doesn't care about fan bases, I don't think. He cares about his clients, who he's working for, and getting them the most possible money every single chance that he gets. And so when you're always dealing with a Boras client, you don't get that discount. He's not going to sign those discounts typically with his clients, I don't think. So I say all that, Danny, to say that it would have taken one of these guys like Strasburg did the first time years ago to kind of go to Scott Boras and say, hey, this is where I want to be. Let's just do a deal. I don't care if I leave a little money on the table. And by and large, there's no real reason for players to do that. This is a business for them. I don't get mad at them for that in any way. But all I've ever wanted is please make an offer
put
that is
the offer
hard
in front of them.
Right. Make it hard to say no. Please make an offer to Juan Soto where he actually has to think about it. Like, guess what? A couple of days ago when the Rays offered Wander Franco what they did, okay? I'm sure someone's in his ear going, hey, do this math. You say no to this. Next thing you know, you fast forward X amount of years, you're going to make this much money. By the end of this, you're going to be making, and you can do the math and say you're leaving tens of millions of dollars on the table. And then Franco looks at him and goes, listen, man, I just want to take care of my family. I got a really good thing going. I'm going to get another contract. By the time I'm done playing, I'll make $300 million. And I don't have to – if I get hurt tomorrow, I never have to worry about anything. But they made it hard for him to say no, and he said yes. Do that once, please. Offer the amount of money that you would tell me. Well, he wouldn't take that. And let him say no, and then I'll leave you alone. Until you do every single day, I'm going to scream about how you don't make the offer.
That's where I am. And the story that comes out, well, they didn't really say much to Trey Turner over the last year in terms of contract negotiations. Oh, okay, cool. And then they decided they couldn't re-sign him. And maybe they couldn't have, honestly. But to your point, I need those offers made. At some point, I need somebody to do it. And now if you do it for Juan Soto, by the way, it's too late because he can smell the finish line. The same way it was too late when you called Anthony Rendon and said, hey, do you want some deferred money? By that point, it's too late. You've got such a good talent evaluating staff. This isn't the Washington football team. This is Mike Rizzo and his staff. They're really good at this. They figure out guys that can play. They bet right an awful lot. You have them evaluate and go, this guy's going to be really good. This is the numbers he's going to put up. This is what that's worth. And you offer that years in advance before you have to. When you get to the finish line, Anthony Rendon put it to his best when we were at the Nats Youth Academy. And he, in his awesome laid-back way, started talking about used car parking lots and then the new car parking lot. And you're going to go look at all the other cars. And we're like, yeah, you probably would want to go get another car, especially now that you've got infinity dollars coming your way. It was inevitable. It was over by that point. I need you to do it 3 years ago, 4 years ago. That's the window, and they've never done that to my knowledge.
It's very simple. Have you offered 13 years at $40 million per year for $520 million? If the answer is no, then you haven't done enough. That's how I view this. $40 million per year, 13 years. And if he says, I don't want to be signed for 13 years, I only want to be signed for 7.
Okay.
Then you go, even better. And then you offer 7 years at $45 million. And you say, okay, well, here's your seven-year offer. We're going to up it to $45 million. And now it's $315 million, a record deal, over 7 years. And you'll be entering the back end of your prime, still not 30, and you'll be able to go get another $300 million or whatever it is then. And he'll go, cool. Until you make that type of offer, this isn't worth talking about because you're not doing enough. But it's all I was thinking about last night as Scherzer goes to the Mets. A lot of people were annoyed when Harper went to the Phillies. To me, that's nothing compared to this. It really is just nothing. Too bad we couldn't get to the phones. We're having some issues with the phones, so apologize. Would have liked to hear what you guys thought. But you can tweet us at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny, and we will touch base with you there and try to respond to as many of those as we can. Next, let's pivot to the Washington football team. Danny, I'm live at FedEx Field. Danny's in our Half Street studios. We're getting ready for Monday Night Football against Seattle. Get this, a win tonight, and the football team will enter Week 13 in Vegas in the playoffs. Mm. If the season were to end, luckily for everybody else, if they win, it doesn't. But Washington will control its own destiny. That's next on Grant and Danny.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Grant and Danny on a Monday. Danny's in studio. I'm at FedEx Field. 8:15 kickoff tonight. The 3-7 Seahawks trying to chase Washington down in the hunt graphic. The football team's 4-6, but get this: with a win, they would catapult in to the wild card.
Unreal.
7 teams get in this year. Danny, we've got the added extra playoff team, and in the NFC, where it looks like everyone is destined for about 8 wins, they would bypass the Carolina Panthers, Philadelphia Eagles, New Orleans Saints, Atlanta Falcons, and Minnesota Vikings based on tiebreakers. They'd be 5-6. They'd be the last team in behind San Francisco based on the fact that in the conference, the first tiebreaker, they would be 5-2 if they beat Seattle tonight right here at FedEx Field.
So one of the reasons we said, hey, let's hold off. Let's pump the brakes on playoffs and, you know, them having this turnaround and everything else. This was common sense. We said there are too many bodies to climb over. There are too many teams that have too many games. There's too much to happen. Well, here's what happened this past weekend. Everybody ahead of them for that 7 seed lost, with the exception of the Falcons. Vikings, Saints, Eagles, Panthers. All big, fat else. The seas parted. Moses and the crew are walking on through. Washington beats a team that is reeling, that is scuffling, that is infighting, that has been disappointing beyond belief in prime time, something they haven't done very well. We're going to go through that later on in the show. You got a nice little bit of stats and research to share with the folks. But if you take care of business at home against a crappy team, there you are right there. 7 seed, controlling your own destiny. Amazing, considering where we were just 3 weeks ago.
Stunning. But it's happening just like it has in years past when they've made the playoffs.
That
isn't to say that I think they will or know that they will this year. But generally, two things happen when they've gotten in. The first is that they get hot. We'll check so far, right? They've won 2 in a row. The schedule is opening up where you get a Seattle team that's not scoring and struggling. We'll talk to Mike Salk, top of the hour, scout the opponent. Why are the Seahawks so bad? But that's tonight's game. Then you play the Raiders, who, before they played Dallas on Thanksgiving, had lost 3 in a row, and their season was coming apart at the seams. And they get all your division games against your rivals to finish the season. The other thing that works hand-in-hand with them getting hot, though, is that they get a lot of help. Teams that they need to lose. And you just kind of referenced it, but it started on Thanksgiving with that inexplicable 36-33 performance for the Cowboys. Now they don't have Amari Cooper. Now they don't have CeeDee Lamb. It's a very different-looking team. Their head coach and a bunch of their assistants are not going to be able to coach very likely on Thursday night against the Saints. Now, I think they lose that game anyway, but it's not going to help that a bunch of their staff is unavailable for the game. Like, those types of quirky things have been going in Washington's favor for the better part of a month. The Saints lost to the Bills. I think everyone expected that, but the Saints are free-falling. They're terrible. They lost 31-6. The Panthers got destroyed by the Dolphins. By the way, tell me more about Cam Newton, please. He was 5 of 20 and got benched and looked terrible. I'm so glad they didn't sign him. But we could keep going. I mean, the Eagles losing to the Giants. I don't know if you watched that game.
Yeah,
Jalen Hurts throwing more picks than anybody but Lamar Jackson this week. The Giants scored 13 points and almost doubled them up. Almost everything that they needed to happen across the board did. The only game that really didn't go their way was maybe the Bears and the Lions on Thursday. I could maybe find another one here or there. But
49ers winning.
But then, because honestly, if the Vikings would have won, it might have been worse
for Washington. You're right. That is better.
Like, one of those two teams had to lose, and they're both in the mix. So I don't think there was like a great result there. But it was basically almost a perfect week for them. Now they got to handle their business tonight and make it all worthwhile.
100%. And, you know, even within the division, as Ron Rivera has mentioned, the Cowboys lose to the Raiders. Thank you very much, Vegas. They showed a pulse there where all of a sudden Dallas doesn't look quite as good as they did a couple weeks ago. So, as you said, the stage is set. The thing that happens once every few years with this team, they don't just do a normal good season where they just win two out of every three games and end up with 10 or 11 wins. They don't do that. They do this. They give away half the season, and then all the pieces fall in front of them, and they get hot or whatever it is that they do. They just play a different way, and maybe it's happening at the moment. I mean, they match up pretty well with Seattle. We haven't really talked about the game at all at this point. This new 2.0 Washington team, if you believe that that's the thing, that runs the ball a ton, that's physical, that plays sound, solid defense, I think that matches up really well with the way the Seattle team is just reeling at this point. Seattle's offense is atrocious on third down. The first 8 weeks of the Washington football team season, that would have been a great get-right time for Seattle. But now, all of a sudden, the last couple weeks, Washington's been pretty good on third down. They're still the worst in the league statistically, but not the last 2 weeks they haven't been. They've been pretty good. You get them off the field, Seattle's defense stays on the field for hours at a time, basically. Offense never gets in a rhythm. Russ doesn't look right. The whole thing's a mess. You could beat them into submission tonight. You could win three straight games. You could be in the postseason. Again, unthinkable as recently as a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and it doesn't necessarily mean that they're all of a sudden good or really good.
No, that's fair. That's fair. You're
Nothing
right.
that major has changed in terms of the flaws with this team. But three straight wins is not nothing in a sport where there's only 17 games. I mean, you could say, well, explain it away however you want to. One of those wins was against a Bucs team that is going to be in the playoffs and may well get back to the NFC Championship game. It was an inspired performance. I know Brady stunk that day, but that happens sometimes. You either take advantage or you don't. You make his life harder or you don't, and they did. They went to Carolina. Now, the Panthers are probably not a playoff team, as we're seeing week in and week out right now. They have no quarterback. That's still the number two defense in the NFL when you played them, and you wore them down and just bully-balled them. And then in this game, I'm not sitting here pretending like Seattle's great, but you play who's on the schedule. They can't move the football. They can't score. So shut them down and go hang 24 and see if you can win 24-17, 24-20. Russell Wilson's got his lowest touchdown rate in 5 years. He's got his worst yards per game since 2014. His QBR is the lowest it's ever been, right around 57 is the lowest it's been previous to this year. It's 45.7. He's been bad. This offense stinks. So take advantage. It's not who you play. It's when you play them. And I love playing Seattle right now. Absolutely think this team is right for the taking. Now, if they lose tonight in Washington, we wake up in the morning and they blew this golden opportunity, I think it's a very different conversation. It was a fun couple of weeks. You're still in the mix. But we all need to just pull back a little bit and relax. But if they win, oh, it's on like Donkey Kong, dude.
So Seattle, I mean, listen, Russell Wilson's excellent. He's not going to be this awful forever. Maybe this is the get-right game. I certainly hope not. We've been the get-right a couple times earlier this year. But if it continues along this way, this is a bad Seattle team traveling east.
How bad are they? We're going to find that out next. We're going to scout the opponent and try to figure out why this team is struggling to the extent that it has this year. They're very talented. You wouldn't know it based on the results. Mike Salk, ESPN Seattle, joins us next on Grant and Danny right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.